This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The U.S. Department of Agriculture released its latest Census of Agriculture last week. That report is a collection of updated data on the state of farming over a five-year span from 2017 to 2022, broken down by each state. The newest agricultural census showed that overall the number of farms in Wisconsin continued to decline. The state is seeing an increase in new farmers, though, who tended to be younger on average. The census data touches on crops, livestock, land use, energy, economic production, and more. We're going to dig into those numbers with the help of a Wisconsin agricultural economist, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the state of farming in Wisconsin? Are you seeing a loss of farms in your area? Is the use of farmland changing in your community? If you work in farming yourself, or maybe have recently left that line of work, you're not alone if so. Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Steve Deller is a UW Extension Community Economic Development Specialist and a professor in agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. Steve, welcome back to the studio.
Good afternoon.
All right. Before we went on the air, you used the word alarmed when it came to the number of farms in Wisconsin.
We knew that we were losing farms, but at this rate was somewhat shocking. In 2017, we had 64,800 farms. In 2022, we had 58,500 farms. That's just less than a 10% drop in the number of farms. That's a really big drop.
And it follows an ongoing trend, right? We've had this conversation before, the number of farms going down, but getting faster, the disappearance of farms?
It ebbs and flows. I had thought that the decline would not be nearly this much. I thought we'd be looking at less than a 5% decline. So this almost 9.7% decline is kind of caught me off guard.
Now, when I look at livestock, obviously people think about dairy in Wisconsin, hogs and other things. It seems like another conversation we've had in the past, those large operations getting bigger and more of them. What's going on at that end of the spectrum?
That's another sector that we lost a fair number. Again, in 2017, we had just over 9,000 dairy farms or farms with milking cows. In 2022, it dropped to 6,200. That's a 31% decline. Now, if you look at the number of cows, milking cows, there was also a decline, but it was a much more modest, small single-digit decline. So you have fewer dairy farms, about the same number of cows. So the average size has increased. In 2017, the average dairy farm had 141 cows. Now it's up to 203 cows. So the herd size is getting bigger. And as you mentioned, part of that is the growth in the really larger farms.
Yeah, talk a little more about that. As I looked at the cattle numbers and especially the hog numbers, as I was looking at that, I'm trying to do the math in my head as I'm reading these charts. It seems like the biggest ones are getting bigger and bigger. What we used to think of as a big, say, hog farm would be medium now.
It's the economics is driving them towards scale. But you have to keep this in perspective. Mm-hmm. I was just at a conference in California and talking about the size of the farms out there. A small dairy farm out there is 25,000 head.
Wow.
There's nothing that comes even close to that in Wisconsin. So a big dairy farm here would be, 10,000 head. But we are seeing a growth in those larger farms, and it's because the economics is simply driving it that way.
All right. What does it mean for a rural community if instead of having a bunch of small to medium-sized, say, dairy farms, there's maybe one or two large-scale dairy farms?
Well, there's two ways to look at this. One is simply kind of the amount of income that's being generated on those farms. From a purely economic perspective, if you're looking at 10 farms that are struggling to survive or one large farm that actually pays halfway decently, the local economy is actually better off with that larger farm, because there's more money for the workers and the family to be spending in the local economy. But recall, though, that a lot of these smaller farms, the vast majority of the farm family income comes from off-farm sources. So we got to remember that relationship.
Now, you mentioned the market driving people to concentrate, to get bigger. How much of it is the market versus are there policies, federal government policies, say, that militate toward larger operations?
The federal policies do favor the larger operations simply because we have this we've had this policy almost since the Great Depression of cheap food. So when you look at federal policy, it's really trying to maintain cheap food and stability in the farm sector. And it's that stability that a lot of the policies are aimed at trying to introduce. The problem, though, is that for the farmer to take full advantage of those programs, you got to have some size. You got to have some scale. So they don't set up the programs to benefit the bigger farms. It's just the nature of the beast. If you're a bigger farm, you're in a better position to take advantage of these programs.
Talking to Steve Deller, UW Extension Community Economic Development Specialist and professor at UW-Madison, looking at this big report, a 5-year report on trends in agriculture in the United States, including Wisconsin. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Farmers love to hear from you. Or if you've left the business or cut back and counted more on off-farm income, join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We focused on livestock so far, Steve. When it comes to crops, does anything stood out to you so far as you go through these numbers?
The amount of harvested cropland also dropped. It dropped by almost 474,000 acres. That's a pretty big drop, but that's a 5.1% drop in harvested acres. However, if you look at the size of irrigated acres, that actually went up. That went up by 21,000 acres, or about 4.6%. And if you can think of Wisconsin, picture Wisconsin, you've got the Central Sands where there's a lot of vegetables grown, potatoes grown, mm-hmm. and whatnot. That's irrigated land. We're seeing an increase in that. But the kind of the traditional corn and soybean type land, we're seeing a slow decline in that as well.
Why is that?
I think it's profit margins. When you look at, if I can grow vegetables, I can make a little bit more money than if I'm growing corn and soybeans. So if I'm making a long-term investment, the decision is I'm going to go to the crop that I can make a little bit more money on. And that's in Wisconsin, that tends to be vegetables, including potatoes.
One thing we've talked about in the past, Steve, is kind of a hollowing out of the middle-sized farms. So we get these bigger ones getting bigger, but maybe some room for those smaller ones with the boutique thing. Maybe it's vegetables or a value-added good or something unique and maybe something particularly local. Are we seeing that in these new numbers?
No, and that was one of the things that surprised me is because, as we've discussed before, there's kind of a hollowing out. It's the growth in the bigger farms and growth in the smaller farms going towards local foods, specialty crops, specialty products. But we've also seen a decline in the number of small farms. And we need to dig into the numbers a little bit deeper to try to figure out why that is. Is it that the markets have shifted? Is it that the movement towards local foods is not growing as much as it was? Is it still a lingering effect of COVID? We haven't dug into the numbers deep enough to really answer that.
Yeah, one thing I was wondering about is we had some food inflation. Consumers noticed that after COVID. Now, these numbers are coming from 2022, so we don't have that 2023 year of high food inflation there. But I get callers saying, hey, we used to do that organic. Food prices are higher. We're going to conventional produce. We're not buying that stuff that maybe that smaller operator would count on. I mean, could that be part of the story?
That could be it. It also remember during COVID, how many restaurants shut down, and how many restaurants were unable to come back online. How many of those restaurants were sourcing local foods? When you get into markets like, say, the Madison market, it is a real marketing component of a restaurant to say, hey, the chicken that you just ordered came from Barbara Jones's farm down the street. That's a marketing component. A lot of those restaurants, they're just now starting to come back. So part of this is the lingering effect of COVID. But that's a hypothesis.
Sure. Now, Tom from Green Bay couldn't stay on the line. He was wondering how much small farmers are diversifying their crops and whether that's helping. Well, I could see that going a couple of ways, Steve. What do you think?
Well, it depends on how you define a small farmer.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the hops industry in Wisconsin, there's a growing hops industry, but a lot of these farmers, you're talking 1 acre. So is that a viable farm? We can get into that. So I think that some of the smaller farms that are actually viable enterprises, I think that they are trying to diversify as much as they can because that's a good business strategy.
Talking to UW-Madison agricultural economics professor Steve Deller about the new census of agriculture, what it says about the state of farming in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you concerned about the declining number of farms in Wisconsin with large-scale farming and livestock operations in the state? Are you one of the newer farmers getting into the industry? We'll look at those numbers in just a bit. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Steve Deller, UW Extension Community Economic Development Specialist, professor in Agricultural and Applied Economics at UW-Madison. We're looking at the latest census of agriculture data on farming in Wisconsin, showing an overall decrease in the number of farms. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the state of farming in Wisconsin or maybe a personal experience as a farmer or former farmer? Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Let's bring on a caller. Monique is with us in Plainfield. Monique, hi.
Hi. Thanks for the show today. It's very interesting.
Yeah, what did you want to bring up, Monique?
I wanted to ask a question specifically about how we're defining vegetable farming. So I'm from the Central Sands area, and we do have a lot of potatoes, which are technically defined as a vegetable. But now so many more of the potatoes are grown for potato chips. I think that's the vast majority of the potato crop that's grown in this area now is for potato chips. Hmm. Is that still defined as a vegetable?
Monique, thanks for the call. Now, Steve, if you're coming to my potluck and I assign vegetable and you bring potato chips, I'm not going to be happy. But if you're doing an agricultural census, yes, right?
It is. It's a vegetable. And a tomato is technically a fruit. So it's... Yeah, unfortunately it is. Now, one thing you have to remember, this is the census of agriculture. We're looking at on-farm production. But when you look at the importance of agriculture to the state of Wisconsin, the big impact is food processing.
Mm-hmm.
Where the real impact is making the cheese and processing those vegetables. One of the concerns is that if we continue to see a decline in the number of farms and the value of the amount of produce that's being produced or crops being produced or product being produced, that suddenly our food processors start to have a hard time, then we got serious problems.
Thanks for that call, Monique. Patty is with us in Manitowoc. Patty, hi.
Yes, hi. I'm very pro-agriculture. I live in the country, and it's one large semi after another spreading liquid manure. I'm very concerned about water contamination. Would you share, please? Thank you.
Patty, thanks for the call. And we see controversies as people open, by Wisconsin standards, very large livestock operations. What happens to the manure? How big an issue has this been, Steve?
This can be, well, it depends on what part of the state you're in, mm-hmm. because the geography of the state is some places you can actually spread manure and it's kind of processed into the ground efficiently. There are other parts of the state where it goes straight into the water table. So it depends on what part of the state you're in. I think that most farms are very aware of their environmental implications. And I think if you grab a typical farmer, they would view themselves as an environmentalist and they want to do the right thing. But you do have accidents. You do have an occasional farmer that is, makes a mistake or is sloppy And, you know, you can have really negative consequences of that. But I think your typical farmer is, you know, really conscious and wants to do the right thing because they live here, too. I mean, they live here. Their kids go to school here. They drink the water here. And, you know, they take stewardship of the land pretty seriously.
Thanks a lot for that call. Steve, another number that I've mentioned, what looks like an increase in the number of newer, younger farmers getting into the profession. I know that's been a concern. Succession planning, who's going to take over the farm as people retire if their kids don't. I mean, do you see this as a significant data point in this report?
This is something that I want to dig into a little bit deeper. Is I was just doing some work with some colleagues at Penn State University looking at women farmers. And the growth in women farmers is actually quite remarkable. And they tend to be coming in on smaller specialty scale type farms, feeding into local foods, feeding into organic. They tend to be smaller scale. But I haven't, you know, that's something that I want to dig into as well. The thing is that if you want to get into farming, it's very difficult to get into large scale unless you inherit. Unless you're taking over the family farm. If you are not from a family farm and you want to get into farming, it's a very expensive proposition.
Right. It's capital intensive. You need big, high-tech equipment.
You need big tech. And, I mean, if you want to get in starting as a dairy farmer, you know, you need at least $1 million. And, you're 30 years old. You go into a bank and you go, I'd like to start a farm. And I've went to school, I've got the experience, I internship, I worked on a dairy farm, and the banker goes, okay, how much money do you need? I need $1 million. What do you think the banker's going to do? The state is trying to help with that, but that's a big hurdle. So a lot of these younger farmers are getting into the smaller scale with the idea that they're going to ramp it up over time.
Back to our callers now with Don in Milwaukee. Don, hi.
Good afternoon, sir.
What did you want to bring
Thanks
up, Don?
Thanks for having me. Well, my question is the reality that more foreign nations are purchasing farmland or property in the U.S., how do those numbers affect the fact that the small farmers have to work so hard just to make it?
That's a bit of a I think it's a little blown out of proportion, the amount of foreign investment in agriculture. You do have some foreign investors that are looking at Wisconsin or looking at agriculture in the U.S. as like they would any other investment. And they see, a large poultry farm that may make sense from an investment perspective. You are seeing increasingly non-farm families or rural families that are making these kind of investments from a purely business. It's a good investment. I'm going to invest in it. But I think the amount of foreign investment is probably more of a political talking point than what's actually happening.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Steve Duller, agricultural economist at UW-Madison, looking at a big new census of agricultural information in Wisconsin and around the country. Steve, the report also talks about, you know, the income. How are farmers actually making money by farming? There's a final bottom line number, but I assume this is a case where an average probably conceals more than it tells us. As you look at this report, what do you see about the economic well-being of people in farming?
They're doing better, but there's two components to that. One is some of these farmers are getting bigger, and as they get bigger, the economics are in their favor. They're going to do a little bit better. But also, the past couple of years has actually been pretty good in terms of commodity prices. So the past couple of years have been kind of good years. It's actually expected that this year, the 2024, commodity prices will be coming down a little bit. Still historically good, but so you have to look at these kind of revenue numbers kind of almost on a year-to-year basis, depending on what's happening to commodity prices. For example, if milk prices are really high, dairy farmers are doing pretty good. If milk prices are really low, dairy farmers are bleeding money, and it ebbs and flows.
And it can be a double-edged sword. If the commodities I'm selling are high, great. If the commodities I'm buying, the feed that I need to feed the livestock, say, that's going to hurt me. I mean, is this kind of biting people on both ends here a little bit?
Yeah, and this is where the economics kind of favors the larger farms, because the larger farms are in a position to better contract out these things and minimize those fluctuations. If I'm a farm and I'm buying $1 million in feed, I can write a contract that essentially locks that in. Whereas if I'm a smaller farmer and I'm buying feed on a monthly basis, I'm more at the mercy of what's happening to those prices. So this kind of going up in scale to larger farms, not only are you in a better position to take advantage of federal programs, but you're better positioned to minimize risk. And that's the economics that's driving larger farms.
Now, the data from this census is from 2022. What are you watching for right now, Steve, and what's happened since then, and what's coming in the next couple of years, just in our last minute or so?
I'm thinking that this is the timing of this census is a lingering effect of COVID. And I'm thinking that these 10% drop in the number of farms is a COVID effect. So I'm hoping that when we start to get more current estimates, not a census, but estimates, that these numbers start to look a little bit better. That's what I'm hoping.
Steve, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Steve Deller is a UW Extension Community Economic Development Specialist and a professor in Agricultural and Applied Economics at UW-Madison. He joins us today for a look at the latest data on farms in Wisconsin found in the USDA's new Census of Agriculture that was released last week.